So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, while the people pushed their way up to him to listen to the word of God. He saw two boats pulled up on the beach. The fishermen had left them and were washing the nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, it belonged to Simon, and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowd. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Push the boat out further to the deep water, and you and your partners let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon answered, "we worked hard all night long and caught nothing, but if you say so, I will let down the nets." They let them down and caught such a large number of fish that the nets were about to break. So they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full of fish that the boats were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw what happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." He and the others with him were all amazed at the large number of fish they had caught. The same was true of Simon's partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." They pulled the boats up on the beach, left everything, and followed Jesus.
Just want to say a big thank you to Paul and to you for allowing me to come today to preach at these special anniversary services. As I said this morning, I've been in Essex now for 30 years and never preached in Chelmsford, so I feel it's a real privilege this morning. I feel it's a real promotion to come from Shrewsbury and to preach here in Chelmsford. This morning, I really felt that what God wanted me to share with you, with the congregation here, was something really for the church as a whole on this anniversary Sunday. And we looked at the Old Testament story, a famous story of Moses and the people at the Red Sea, and how the people wanted to go back when the Egyptians were chasing them. Moses wanted them to stand still, but God said, "Go forward." And I just felt that God wanted me to share with you just this command, this challenge about going forward, because there's always a danger in going back and in standing still. And as I was thinking about that and then thinking about tonight, I thought I'd really like to talk to you more as individuals tonight rather than the whole church. Now, there may be something in it for the whole church, but just particularly for individuals. I'm sure if you know your Bible at all, you'll know that the pages are full of great encounters. You know, there's an encounter of David with Goliath, the encounter of Daniel with the lions, the encounter of Elijah with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Great encounters. But also there are encounters that people had with God. For instance, there's Jacob, who, it says, wrestled with God in prayer. There's Moses, as we were referring to this morning, at the burning bush, encountering God and the challenge and commission to take the people out of Egypt. There's the encounter that Isaiah had with God, where he saw this fantastic vision of God. And I was thinking, I'd like to share with you something of an encounter tonight. The encounter that Hannah read for us a few moments ago. Peter, Simon Peter, encountering Jesus. Now, it's very unlikely that this was the first meeting Peter had with Jesus. In his gospel, John tells us that that meeting took place when Andrew went and found his brother Simon and introduced him to Jesus. So they weren't strangers to each other. But this was the encounter that counted. This was the crucial one. Simon Peter was a fisherman. And fishing was the main source of income for the people who lived around the Sea of Galilee. And it was a tough life. But it was reasonably secure because there were always fish in the sea. And so long as you had a boat and kept the nets in reasonable condition, you could eke out a living to feed your family. It wasn't a comfortable lifestyle, but it was reasonably safe. But when Simon Peter met Jesus and encountered him on this occasion, everything changed. He was called to a new beginning, a new challenge, a life-changing adventure. And that sometimes happens when we really meet Jesus. And I want you to notice some of the things about this encounter tonight. First of all, in this encounter, there's a revelation of the glory of Jesus, even of God's glory. What we read is that Jesus had been using Peter's boat as a kind of platform, pushed out a little bit into the lake, where he spoke to the crowd of people who had come in their droves to hear him. And Jesus had been teaching them, sharing with them something of this new, dynamic, revolutionary message that would change the world. I guess that Peter was actually in the boat with Jesus, just maybe making sure the anchor stayed down. I think he was probably struggling to keep awake, as some of you are tonight. I just say something to you, it just kind of occurred to me. There's something really, really important here. Sometimes people have to see something of Jesus before they really meet him. And how do they do that? They do it through those of us who are his followers. We are the body of Christ, the Bible says. His hands, his feet, his voice, his attitudes, his character. And people's first impression of Jesus is not going to be found in what they see in this lovely building. It's going to be seen in you, and you, and you. I love the story of the little girl who was in hospital. And she wasn't very well, of course, and every day her parents came with all the other parents of the children in the ward to visit her. And one time at visiting time, she looked and all the other parents came in, and her parents were late. They got caught in the traffic. They were late. And as she looked, she was looking and trying to see, and they didn't come. And as she lay in her bed, anxiously waiting, one of the dads from another child came up to the bedside and just spoke to her and reassured her that her mom and dad were going to be coming. And sure enough, suddenly the door of the ward opened and the parents rushed in all flustered, all apologetic. They came up to their little girl's bed and the man who had been there went back to his own child. And when her parents sat down by the bedside, all apologetic, the little girl said, "Mom, Dad, see that man there? Was that man Jesus? Was that man Jesus?" Could anybody ever say that of us? And after Jesus finishes speaking, he suggests to Peter, "Let's go fishing." Now, I've done a little bit of fishing in the past. My dad used to take me to some of the rivers around where we live. And I can clearly imagine this scene and the reaction of Peter to this suggestion. Fishermen tend to be touchy people. They think they know it all. And the last thing a fisherman ever wants is advice, especially if he's not catching any fish. And you probably know that often the best time to fish is at night. And if you catch nothing through the night, you're not going to catch anything when the sun comes up. And if you've been up all night fishing and you haven't caught anything, you're going to be in a bad mood the next day. Not to mention tired and frustrated. That's why I think Peter was probably struggling to stay awake in the boat. And so when Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, come on, let's go fishing," I can imagine Peter's reaction. I can imagine the look on his face. It's the kind of look that Polly, my wife, would have given me this afternoon if she, that I would have given her, if she had suggested we go shopping while I wanted to watch the last day of the Premiership season. Can you imagine that look? Strong look. And I wonder how long the look on Peter's face lasted. Because it would be met by a look on Jesus' face that said, "Peter, just do it. Just do it." I wish sometimes that I could have seen the face of Jesus, the look of compassion when he saw the crowds, the look of joy when somebody touched was healed, the look of sorrow when Judas left the upper room to go and betray him, the face of Jesus. Peter knew with the look of Jesus that he had to do it. And so he did. He pushed the boat out, prepared the nets, threw them overboard very reluctantly, and waited, fully expecting them to come up empty and for him to say to Jesus, "I told you it was a waste of time." But we know that wasn't what happened. More fish in one net than Peter had ever seen. Enough to feed his family and enough to make enough money to last for weeks. But you see, it wasn't just about fishing or a record catch. It was an awesome moment when in a very practical display, he saw something of the awesome power and majesty of Jesus and authority of Jesus. We know that because of his reaction, he saw something of the glory of God, and that paved the way for the encounter that would change his life. Can I say this to you? I don't really know you, and I'm going down the road soon, so I can say things to you. I wonder if some of us have lost sight of the glory and majesty and awesomeness of God. I'm sure sometimes that our apathy and our half-heartedness and our lack of trust and our weakness and our ineffective in witness and service arises because we've lost or we've maybe never really had an experience or awareness of just the awesomeness and greatness of God. I remember as a young Christian, and I'm sure Paul will probably remember this too, there was a book that came out that really caused quite an effect on my life and an effect on other people's lives. It was a book by a man called J.B. Phillips, and the title was "Your God is Too Small." When Jesus meets us with a challenge to serve and the call to ministry, he wants us to see something of his greatness, that it is worth it to do what he's calling us to do for him. Second thing we see in the story is that there's a sense of inadequacy in Peter. What we see here is that Peter, through this simple miracle, recognizes he's in the presence of what someone has called God's holy love. And like so many before and since, the realization of that causes him to have an overwhelming sense of inadequacy and his own sinfulness. And notice this, he says he wants Jesus to go away, when in reality he desperately wanted to know and experience more, but he feels so inadequate. Do you ever feel like telling Jesus to go away? Because it's getting too much for you. But then when you really think about it, Jesus going away is the last thing You really want. You know, when you look at the Old Testament, you realize that Peter's in good company here. When God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, Moses felt so inadequate that he argued with God and said, "I can't speak, you can't use me." Isaiah said he was a man of unclean lips, assuming that that would disqualify him from God's plan and God's service. Jeremiah said he was too young to be a prophet. Gideon was so scared that he hid from the people God was calling him to overthrow. And be personal for a moment. When I first sensed that God was calling me to become a preacher and a pastor, I was totally terrified because I couldn't string two sentences together. But I and Peter and all those others discovered something very important. Listen, inadequacy does not disqualify you from God's service. It's a qualification for it. If you think you're adequate, you're not. And I just have it in my heart tonight to say I believe that maybe some of you really need to meet Jesus in a fresh way. And that tonight and in the days to come, for someone here, God is going to call you into some area of service and ministry. Maybe for some of you, it's a confirmation to continue and develop what you're already doing. And you feel inadequate. You feel a bit down maybe because you think you can't do it, when in fact your inadequacy is what Jesus can take and transform and use. I believe that God may be calling someone tonight into some new area of service. You're hearing his voice, not just tonight, but at other times in recent days, and you feel afraid because you can't really imagine yourself in that situation. But God's at you. He's calling you. And he's not looking for your ability. He is looking for your availability. Peter felt so inadequate. "Go away, Jesus." But really, he wanted him to stay. And in so doing, he was prepared for what was to come, a new challenge, a new calling, a new lifestyle, and a new adventure. Tonight, there's nothing wrong with feeling inadequate. But then thirdly, there's a renewed promise. I think we have here one of the most fundamental and wonderful principles of Scripture. I referred to it this morning, and I'm not ashamed to refer to it again tonight. It's this, that whenever there's a challenge from God, whenever there is a call from God, whenever Jesus meets us and presents us with a call to do something for him, he accompanies it with a promise. And to Peter, in his inadequacy, when he's saying, "Jesus, go away," Jesus says, isn't it great? Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Now, I think when Peter heard that, he would suddenly remember that sometime before, when he had been also working at his job as a fisherman, Jesus had passed by and said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And now Jesus says, "Peter, you're going to catch them. It's not going to be futile." Second stage in the journey. And when you think about it, not long after this, 3 years or so later, Peter would see the promise fulfilled in the most dramatic way imaginable. As we're going to be celebrating in a couple of weeks' time on Pentecost Sunday. On the day of Pentecost, Peter would stand up in front of a huge crowd of people. The same Peter who's now on his knees asking Jesus to go away. The same Peter who felt so inadequate. The same Peter's feeling so afraid. And as a result, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people become Christians, queuing up to get baptized. Who would have believed it? Certainly not Peter. But it happened because when Jesus gives a call, he gives a promise. And to everyone who meets Jesus and encounters him and hears his call, Jesus makes a similar promise. As I look back on, I suppose, 40 years in ministry, I just feel an overwhelming sense of privilege and amazement. To me, it's just the greatest thing imaginable that God might have used me to share his word in these two churches and in other places in a way that enabled people to discover Jesus and commit their lives to him. Such a blessing to have been given the privilege of participating in the baptism of hundreds of people and see the look of joy on their faces as they emerged from the water. And even as I think about it, even if throughout those years just one person had come to faith and been saved from the awful consequences of sin, it would still have been such a privilege. And all those years ago, training to be a quantity surveyor in Scotland, I would never have imagined that this would be my destiny. And I found, especially in recent years, a passion within my own heart that summed up in this little phrase, one more for Jesus. One more for Jesus. One more for Jesus. And I believe that God, over those years, has continually renewed his promise to me. If you do what I say, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. Tonight, if in some way you're at a stage in your life where you're sensing some call from God, I promise you that you will also receive a promise from God. We don't ever begin to fulfill the call of God alone and in our own strength. He promises to meet our needs and be our strength. Listen to the words that Peter heard that day. Don't be afraid. And then finally, it doesn't quite end there, because there's a leaving of the boats. Before we finish, we must see this. Peter has this encounter with Jesus. He sees something of the awesome power and glory of God in this man, in the miracle that happens. He feels this sense of inadequacy that rather than disqualifying him from service, qualifies him for it. And he's given this wonderful promise, from now on you're going to catch men, Peter. And he's ready now, in the light of this encounter, to take a giant step of faith and follow Jesus and begin the adventure and respond to the call. But there's one thing he has to do. Luke tells us that he pulled his boat up on the shore and left everything. Now, this may be obvious, but I think it's so significant. When Peter met Jesus, he heard his call, and he knew he had to leave something behind. He had to bring the boat onto the shore and leave it there. Can I suggest to you tonight, as we draw to a close on this anniversary Sunday, that when we meet Jesus and hear God's call and are ready to respond, sometimes the one hindrance is there's a boat that needs to be left behind. There's some baggage that needs to be brought to the shore and left there. And I wonder tonight if in meeting Jesus, the encounter is only going to be complete if you are ready to put something behind you now. It could be anything, not necessarily something bad or something evil, but something that you can't really keep if you are really going to fulfill his call. Maybe a wrong relationship, it may be some bad attitude, it may be an unforgiving spirit to someone, it may be a feeling of bitterness towards someone, it may be some ambition, some aspect of your lifestyle, maybe a hobby or a practice that's taken over your loyalty and your spare time. Maybe something that gives you security. Listen, the boat wasn't bad, but it had to be brought to the shore and left behind. because the boat was a hindrance. In the boat, Peter could catch fish. Out of the boat, away from the boat, he would catch men. And as with marriage, when we meet with Jesus, there has to be a leaving and a cleaving. And then the real adventure begins as we live in the light of his call. And I wonder if for someone tonight, there's a boat that needs to be left on the shore. Tonight, we see a crucial encounter. But that encounter that Peter had with Jesus is only relevant if it encourages us to be open to our encounter with him at whatever stage in our lives we are at. Maybe a first encounter, maybe the umpteenth encounter. And in that encounter, we see something of the awesomeness of God in Jesus. We feel inadequate, but we hear again his promise. And the time has come to bring the boat onto the shore so that we can leave it and go forward unhindered in response to his call. And as you go into the 108th year in the life of the church, and whatever year you're in your Christian life, having met with Jesus, having had that crucial encounter, leaving the boat on the shore, you're ready for anything. Amen.
Let's take a few moments of silence just to reflect on God's word to us. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us that brings us life and hope and purpose. Lord, we pray that where things have gone deep into our hearts, that those things would grow through your Spirit over the coming days and weeks and months. Lord, for those of us who are receiving a fresh calling from you, we pray that you will give us courage to respond to your word to us and to be ready for anything. For those of us where you have spoken to us and we know what that boat is that we need to leave behind, Lord, give us the strength to be able to do that and to hold on to you and to trust in you. For those of us who are feeling inadequate, Lord, we pray that we will hold on to the promises that you give to us and that by your Spirit, you would continue to mould us and shape us and make us into mighty men and women of God who bring glory to you and through your Spirit can do things where we can only begin to imagine. Lord, we are your servants and we pray that you will have your will amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.